Philip Quint and Ellie MacKay are two unlikely success stories in the music business. Individually, they have figured out ways to survive and flourish, although he plays classical music and her approach is a mix of folk-centric music and show tunes. They both have new solo records, but they've also collaborated recently in a film that focuses on where their music might meet. Downtown Express tells the story of a Russian violin virtuoso who falls in love with a New York street performer and rock musician who inspires him to open up to other kinds of music. The film opens this coming Friday at Quad Cinemas, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Philip Quint and Ellie MacKay to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
You're both successful musicians at this point, but I'm sure it wasn't always that way. Had either of you actually tried what you do in the film, busking to make some money?
Oh, yes, I have.
You've been out in the street and
I have, in the subways?
In the subway,
yeah. And it was good. You know, I could make about 15 an hour, but I couldn't do it for more than an hour, so that didn't work out so good.
But was it a good learning experience?
It was. It means so much if people could just put in a little each person. And you think that maybe it would be insulting to throw down a nickel or a quarter, but it isn't. It adds up.
Well, yeah, but then the train comes and suddenly they've ruined the end of the performance, which is another kind of problem.
I think it makes it. But
Philippe, you've never
I can't say that I have, really, but, you know, when I first just moved to this country, you know, I was going to school, you know, I was also trying to make something somewhere, so we were offered gigs, so I did, you know, weddings and, you know, parties, private events, so mostly listening to people eating and playing.
And a violinist winds up playing weddings and bar mitzvahs?
It's a weird concept, I know, but it definitely happened to me.
Well, Vancouver recently made international news by lifting a citywide ban on street musicians who play the bagpipes. But I can see why they had banned them.
We have one in the movie.
Are there certain instruments that are just too grating for people to endure on the streets?
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to actually force you to answer that.
No, but you know what's interesting is, this isn't musicians, but in particular, but in San Francisco, it's illegal to lie or sit down on the sidewalk, on a public sidewalk, which is interesting for such a supposedly progressive city that they have such a draconian law that way.
So you have to bring your own chair, I imagine, or stand.
Well, I think they mostly harass you if you're homeless, but that just seems like something that doesn't seem right to me.
Now, Philippe, your character is a Russian-born violin virtuoso, so is this a matter of typecasting?
Well, no, I think it was entirely a theatrical transformation of the highest order. I mean, to go from a Russian violinist into a Russian violinist, I think, was a major, major challenge. No, I don't know if this is, you know, typecasting. I have to tell you, you know, now, you know, sort of migrating from, you know, musician into the world of cinema for at least a short period of time for now, you know, I have to say that this was great to, you know, to show the Russian community in such a wonderful light. You know, what I hear and what we see in the past couple of years, it's usually films where Russians have to play spies, KGB agents, drug dealers, mafia guys. And I was so happy when I saw the script, and this is a movie about, you know, the beautiful culture that Russia has to offer.
But had you acted before?
No, I have not.
So you say that you spent 3 years preparing for the part, haven't you?
That's correct.
Taking acting lessons?
A little bit, yeah. My process was slightly backwards because first I was offered the part, and while the film was in pre-production, and, you know, I thought it was going to be in production the next day, of course, but little did I know about the film industry. So
and you didn't know how long it was between takes either.
No, I had no idea either. So you know, I had this little time on my hands, and I wanted to investigate a little bit, and I started taking classes with a wonderful teacher, Sandra Lee, and, you know, 3 years, I jump into classes, you know, in between my tours and concerts.
Well, I've heard this is the first time that a classical musician is playing the lead in an American film. Is that true?
Well, this is, I think, you know, historical facts that I'm not so familiar with. You know, I didn't personally dig into finding this out, but from what I understand, of course, musicians have been in films.
They've been featured artists.
Many musicians. You know, Yasha Haifetz was in They Shall Have Music. Isaac Stern played Eugene Izai, Gidon Kremer, Paganini, and the list goes on and on and on. But I think I probably have outdone them purely for sheer screen time, you know, as a classical musician who did sort of a main part in an American independent film.
Now, Nelly, what about you? Was acting always there as a part of what you wanted to do with your career?
Well, I do enough of it in real life. You might as well get paid for it.
No, but I mean, I've seen you, for example, I saw you in Three Penny Opera. That was an acting role. When you went to Manhattan School of Music, were you going purely to study music?
Unfortunately, yes. but that didn't pan out. I wouldn't say necessarily have the greatest work ethic. I've always just been trying. I mean, and I think that's based on something. I think people get ahead because they're shrewd. So, of course you want to do good work, but you also want to be clever. Otherwise, you'll be one of those good, kind, well-meaning people with perhaps a little talent and not much to show for it. So, you know, you try to, figure out the best way to do things.
Well, in this film, the both of you are obviously playing your instruments, which is very rare in movies about music. There are other people who, there's a woman who plays piano, and obviously she's an actress and somebody else is playing piano for her. But were you actually playing the same things that appear in the soundtrack? For example, in your case, Nelly, you accompany Philippe in some classical pieces along with some of the
live. Live.
Oh, it was impressive.
The
musical
mistakes,
training did pan out.
They're my own, yes.
This wasn't, one of the things that we needed to figure out, what is live, what is, pre-recorded, but, a lot of episodes in the film are really done live as it was, because we could not possibly put a soundtrack over it.
Also, I would assume that when you're playing the violin at some of the tempi that you're playing, it would be very difficult to dub that.
Very difficult to sync, especially, since this is a movie about musicians. We were working with Michael Bacon, who is a music director of the film. We were literally obsessed and paranoid to make sure that everything looks as real as possible, that, there are no syncing issues, there's none of it. So, it's very, I've noticed in several screenings that it's difficult for people to tell who are actual musicians and who are not.
Well, Michael Kumsty, for example,
exactly.
He's a wonderful actor,
yes.
Who I never thought of as a Russian, but he
he became
plays your
one.
Father and
he
is very credible. He plays a cello,
yeah.
And you'd believe that he's playing that cello.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's one of those incredible actors who is able to do anything, very versatile. And, I remember the first time we met, he was very puzzled how he's going to pull off playing the cello throughout the film. And then, of course, we figured out ways. And Michael Bacon, in fact, plays the cello himself. So we figured out ways of making it very real.
Now, when you were growing up, were your parents as insistent on your practice habits as your father in this film is?
Much more so. Much more so. My character in the movie is, kind of rebellious, while I was, in fact, quite obedient and grew up practicing the violin. And, it was all about classical music. And, and I put in hours and hours of work and never even thought of crossing over into anything else but classical and just going to school, getting my degree. So this was very obedient time for me, unlike Sasha.
Nelly, there are a number of scenes that feature impromptu jams and musicians who are set up on street corners, all recorded live during the filming?
I think most of it was. But in between takes, Philippe would rap my knuckles with a ruler to try to get me to stay in line. I believe you did that with Michael and Carolyn, too. You're very, very much a perfectionist.
Yeah, I was just too excited to be on the set, frankly, because I didn't know if this was my last opportunity and I wanted to make the best of it.
Oh, let's talk about your dancing, Philippe.
If you would like to, absolutely. Do you have some comments?
Oh, it's just magnificent. This man can do anything.
Sarcasm.
No, I'm not serious. He is incredible.
Well, you sure are a fabulous violinist.
Thank you. And I guess you disagree with the dancing comments.
And Nelly, those songs that you sing, those songs that you composed with your bandmates? Because they're really wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we wrote some together. It was a very convivial atmosphere.
For the film?
Much food and imbibing. For the film, yes. We would get together at Michael Bacon's house and have a good time.
My guests are Nellie Mackay and Philippe Quint, two of the stars. Well, actually, the two lead characters in a new film called Downtown Express, which opens Friday at the Quad Cinema. A fun film to watch, but also a real fun film to listen to because there's such a wide breadth of music. And maybe we should just explain a little bit about the plot. Can you give us a quick synopsis, Nellie?
Oh, yes. Well,
make sure it's a spoiler.
Right.
Yeah, don't tell us the end.
Well, I think it's two musical worlds and the subway. And
well, Philippe, who's kind of involved with assimilating into American culture, but at Juilliard and about to have a major recital, he just is intrigued by what your group is doing and decides that he wants to try his hand at some other kind of music. I don't know how you would describe it, art, rock, or...
I don't think it has any particular definition. I think what we
came
up with...
You groaned when I said art, rock.
You know, what we came up with was such a hybrid of everything that we all do, you know, because between Nelly's style, Michael Bacon's style, and what I've been doing my whole life, there's really, you know, barely any similarities. So coming together and creating something that sounds cohesive is the word, I guess. That was a challenge. And then in the end, it was very rewarding because we really enjoyed the process.
Well, you obviously have to improvise here. And improovisation isn't something that classical musicians generally
that
do.
That is correct, too.
So
for me,
this
was
part of a whole learning experience for you, or were you already in the process of doing that?
The entire process was, for me, you know, pushing the boundaries, pushing the envelope, you know, being outside of my comfort zone, which after this film, I confirmed to myself that I really like to be outside of my comfort zone, you know, because this is exciting, this is interesting, you know. And the reason I started looking outside of classical music is because of this movie. So I sort of grew into my character while the film was in pre-production.
So both of you were approached to play these parts after the script was written?
In my case, David Grubin, the director of the film, was just doing interviews process and looking for people from the Russian community to get their experiences, you know, feedback on, you know, how it was, you know, the immigration and everything. So I was just one of the people that that met with him, and you know, in a conversation, I learned that David was developing one of the parts, which was a young Russian violinist. So I had a hint to David that, you know, I said, so, well, what do you think of, you know, having a Russian violinist play a Russian violinist?
And playing a Stradivarius.
Playing
rock music with the Stradivarius. We're running out of time, but I also want to talk about some of the other things that you've done. Nellie, you released a record in 2009 called Normal as Blueberry Pie, a tribute to Doris Day.
Oh, that's right. And in 2010, an album called Home Sweet Mobile Home.
Uh-huh. So do you have a new CD coming out?
Oh, hopefully this year we'd like to put out a record of a show we've been doing called I Want to Live, which is based on the life of Barbara Graham, the third woman executed at San Quentin. Mm-hmm. And it's a musical death
Susan Hayward review. Movie based on that.
That's right. And hopefully maybe we'll do an album of Downtown Express.
You even reviewed a Doris Day biography for the New York Times. So,
oh, yes.
So you do more than just play piano and get your knuckles wrapped when you're trying to do classical music.
They also wrap my knuckles at the New York Times, yes.
Philippe, your new record includes pieces by Brooke, Beethoven, Mendelssohn. Why those composers?
Well, you know, these are considered to be the staples of the violin repertoire, also called the war horses, you know. But, you know, for me, these compositions are as fresh and as unique as they have ever been. You know, this is such a great music, and it was my childhood dream to record these concertos.
Philippe Quint will be performing at Joe's Pub on Monday the 23rd at 7:30. For tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. A classical repertoire? All classical music?
Yes, the new CD is classical music, but at Joe's Pub several interesting selections as well.
And we're going to go out with Nelly singing Bruise on the Sky from her record Home Sweet Mobile Home. Thank you both so much for coming by, and a reminder that Downtown Express, the film that Philippe Quint and Nelly Mackay are starring in, is opening this Friday at the Quad Cinema.
Thanks so much.
Follow. Send me a sign, send me a smile like